I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What you been doing this week, Lou? What you been doing this week? What you been doing this week, Lou? What you been doing this week?
Sally's had a gin. Sally's had a gin. Sally's had a gin at 2 o'clock.
Your little face lit up when I started. I didn't even know that I was going to sing.
No, but you know what? Maybe you're possessed by the spirit of
Ruth Bratt.
Ruth Bratt. She's not dead, but there we go. Oh, do you know what I've been doing this week? I've had a house full of people, Sally.
Oh. By choice?
Yeah.
You've had visitors, haven't you? You've had visitors.
Lots and lots of visitors, and been lovely. But I'm done now.
Right.
I'm done, Sally.
Have you got your house back to yourself now?
I have. I've sent the gentleman caller off to the gym. I'm in my boudoir. I'm in my little... I was saying to our producer, Amanda, I'm a typical Cancerian. I like my own shell sometimes. And here I am. I'm in my own little shell. Everybody can leave me alone. Otherwise, I'll pincer you. Yes. Go away. Yes.
Do you know what star sign I am?
Arsehole.
No.
Oh, hang on a minute. You're a Gemini.
I am.
So you're one way or another.
One way or another.
We're going to find you.
God, I'm singing again. What's happened?
No. Do you know, it's the joy of having Ruth Bratt with us. Musical sensation, improviser, actor.
She's generally just great.
Oh, my God.
Good story. And introduced us to a drink we hadn't drunk before.
Yes,
fantastic.
Sally.
Press play.
Yeah.
Our producer's gone, which means we can run amok Louise Conran.
Oh, you know me, Sally. I'm very sensible. I won't be running any mucks.
We got Ruth Bratt to run mucks with.
Hooray!
Hello, Ruth Bratt.
Hello there, lovelies.
I almost felt like we should sing your introduction.
Go on, Lou, sing it.
Okay.
But every time I go on, Lou, sing, she just goes, all right. She's desperate to sing.
Isn't that the rules of improv, though? Yes,
and
you have to accept the challenge and plough on. So I am going to go, welcome, Ruth Bratt, you're not a twat.
Oh, that's terrible.
Beautiful, I love it.
No, it's not. I'm very no, aren't I? Clearly. Stop. Let's call the show off.
Yeah. End scene.
Everyone get a refund.
How are you, Ruth?
I'm very well, thanks. I'm a little bit chilly. Mm. I don't put the heating on, you know.
It's expensive. Have you got a fire? Yeah, good one.
The
nice.
First thing I did when I moved into this flat was get a fire put in. And I went,
ooh.
It was like my treat to myself.
I can see that you've got double glazing as well. Not double glazing?
No, it's not. It's very much single glazing.
That's why you're wearing the scarf. Yeah,
very much single glazing. Very much the original windows.
It's difficult to do anything really, isn't it, to those?
And I'm not sure whether this is, this makes it sound a lot posher than I am, but I think it might be one of those conservation areas.
Do you know what? Can I bore you with a detail here?
No. Oh, yes, Anne.
Yes, Anne. Thank you, Sally. We've got fireplaces in every room of the house, right? Which makes us sound quite posh. But
so she's showing off every room of the house.
Yeah, well, we didn't have central heating, so, you know. So what I did the other day, I found on the line, on the World Wide Web, Ruth, chimney balloon.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're very good. Yeah, you shove it up there, don't you?
Shove it, well...
It's and you put your chimney balloon up. Oy,
oy. But it's very difficult to try and pump it up because I don't have a pumpy thing.
Yes, you probably get that on the World Wide Web as well, Lou.
Yes, I did. I did buy one from Grumpy Traders, which is the shop that's up the road. And I pumped it and blew the end off. So I was obviously an aggressive
pumper.
Yes, I'm an aggressive pumper. So yes,
I bet. Excited. Oh, I bet you were going through a little menopause moment, weren't you? When you were like, oh, I'm going to get this fucker up there.
Yeah, I was. Yeah,
I was really hoping that the menopause was going to mean that I'd just be quite warm this winter. You know,
No, it doesn't work like that, does it?
No, unfortunately not.
No, because those hot flushes turn into cold sweats, don't they?
They do.
It just turns very quickly.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, it might be beautiful for you, Ruth, but you're looking at an incredibly sweaty woman right now.
Oh, I'm dreading mine. I mean, it's 20 years away or so.
But... Sally. Ruth, now, would you like to tell the listener what drink you've brought to the afternoon soiree, please?
I've brought a gin and soda. Now, this look how tragic this is. I thought, oh, I've got some ice cubes in the fridge. I'll get those out. And then I remembered that the ice cubes I've got in the freezer, well, you know, when it was really hot and my cat is a bit of a twat and won't do anything to cool himself down. So it was just lying in the full sun, just, you know. So I was trying to find all these things you can do. And someone said, put tuna fish into ice cubes and then it makes them lick the ice cubes because they want to get at the tuna. And I went, oh, okay, great. So I put tuna into ice cubes.
Oh, no.
He had half of one and just went,
no,
and walked off. But of course, that's what's in the freezer. Yeah. So that's the only ice cubes I've got, hence no ice cubes.
Or lime, not even a bit of fruit. No. I've got ice and a slice of lime.
I thought, oh, I've got a lemon in the fridge. And then I looked at the lemon in the fridge I went, oh, it's probably not healthy.
No, you might get something from it.
So it is literally just the liquid, but
looks like a glass of water, really.
It does. And what was great, when I was teetotal and I used to go to pubs, and it's very hard being teetotal in the UK because people go, have a drink. And you go, well, no, thanks. And they go, go on. And you know, and you're like, and then they ask you why you're not drinking. And then they always take it as a personal kind of a personal attack that you're not drinking. It's really not. I'm very happy you're drinking, please continue. But so I just used to get a glass of tonic with ice and a slice in it, and then when people go, you drink anything, you're like, oh no, I'm still working on this gin and tonic.
Clever. Then the whole conversation could just get on with a normal conversation.
Yeah,
then,
didn't have to bother with why don't you drink? What's the, you know, I mean, I don't mind talking about it, but, you know, it, after a while, you're like, this is very boring.
Yes.
Surely there's other things we could talk about. Yeah.
Perhaps you just need to type it out and hand them a bit of paper when they ask and let them read it and then just carry on with the conversation. Yeah. I think that's what I'd end up doing eventually.
Yeah. Just to like have it like Edinburgh where you just look, have a flyer.
Yeah, this is why I don't drink. Those questions that you get, like, even tell it when, you know, when say a taxi driver or something asks me what I do, I think they've got that split second of, do I tell them I'm a comedian? Ugh. Can I be bothered with that conversation? And sometimes I just go, oh, good, do it, risk it. And then sometimes I just go, I'm a secretary.
Yes, administrator.
Then the conversation finishes. Yeah. And it's not horrible. It's pure interest, but it's whether or not I'm in the mood to discuss
Being an improviser, Ruth will be able to come up with an answer to that. What do you do? Oh, this is my go-to answer when people used to say, what do you do? I used to say, I'm a ladder technician.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. I like it.
Yeah. And then people go,
a what?
And then they don't want to ask because it's about ladders, and they either pretend that they know what you're talking about or They're gone. You've never seen them again. Yeah.
That's a good one. Me and my mate used to, if we were in a pub and some men were talking to us that we didn't want to talk to, and they'd ask us what we were, we would always be student nurses who were about to go to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Great.
It's great.
But then I'd start asking you about ailments, but maybe that's an age thing. That's the problem. I'd go, oh, well, I've got this thing.
I don't think I'd do it now.
No.
One, I don't think I'd get away with student nurse. Student nurse. No, mate. What have you been doing with your life before now?
you could be retraining.
I'm not very good at it. It's taken me a while, okay?
It's taken me 25 years.
Yeah. Okay, let's do this improv now. Okay, Ruth.
A bit of improv. She loves it.
Ruth. Oh, so you're a nurse. What's your speciality?
Well, I'm a student nurse, so I'm covering everything at the moment.
A mature student?
Yes, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Retraining.
And how do you take blood?
Oh, you get a syringe.
Yeah. And then what do you do with that syringe?
You know, it's actually very easy. It's just about finding the vein, you know, and putting that
tourniquet
on. And
tourniquet. Gosh. Yeah.
And some people's veins are easier to find than others, you know.
Yeah.
It's really, you know, it's just getting used to it.
What about my veins? How are they?
Those are good veins. You'd give blood very easily.
Do you know what I do? The nurses do love my blood, my veins. One said to me, "Oh, all pumped up like tires." I said, "Oh, I feel so pretty."
But in the words of my mother, there's no blood in your veins. It's all alcohol.
Oh, well, that's a lovely little move on to what this podcast segue. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Segue. When did you discover gin and soda?
Yeah. And what gin have you got in your soda?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's just Gordon's at the moment.
Oh,
I have got in the fridge. I've got like a little bottle of. Oh, look at that, mate.
She's got some fancy stuff, hasn't she?
Yes, fancy.
This is which I had for the first time the other day. For the listener, it's a Nordes gin, and it's really floral and delicious. Mm. And it's from the Atlantic Galician
Spanish.
Oh, yes. Hello.
It's Nord. Delicious.
I've got Gordon's. Premium pink. Look pink at the size gin. Of that bugger.
Mine's just the Gordon's green stuff. I can't remember.
You don't have to show us. We know what it looks like. That's fine.
You know what that one's like. But I discovered gin and soda. I've always loved a gin and tonic. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped drinking. Right. And then lockdown happened and I went,
as we all did.
Because I only stopped drinking because I got migraines. And then during lockdown, I was like, well, does it really matter if I get a migraine, does it? Because I don't have anything to do. So, and I discovered that over the 10 years of not drinking, I don't get migraines anymore, touch wood, from alcohol. Well, not from some, but not from the good stuff. So I've always loved a gin and tonic. And then I was in Northampton earlier this year. Doing a show, and next to the Royal and Dern Gate is a very sort of attached to it is a little it's a theatre bar, but it's quite fancy,
right?
And I'm also, because of 10 years of not drinking, a massive lightweight.
Oh, I am anyway, I've been drinking solidly,
so just a huge lightweight, like one drink and I'm kunk, you know. but we just so this bar they did. Gin, but in now, you know, like, so when I was drinking 10 years ago, gin and tonics were just in like a, you know, just a normal glass.
Yeah.
And now they're in those massive fish bowls, you know. Mm-hmm.
But with the bits in. I don't like the bits.
No. So my
Pot-pourri.
Mate. And I was just drinking their gin, you know, a nice gin with a tonic. And then my mate Joshua came to see the show and he went, I'm gonna get you a drink, because his whole thing is that he always wants me to drink. It's like, I'm gonna get you drunk. I'm like, I don't drink, Joshua. But now he's like, oh, you do? Amazing. So he said, what do you want? I want gin and tonic. He went, no, gin and soda. And there's this thing called a gin called Mare. Mare? Mm-hmm. Mare. And it's like got all the botanicals in it and rosemary and all those flavours. And you have that with soda. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Ooh.
I'd highly recommend.
So you'll always do gin and soda, even if with a Gordon's as well. If you were in a pub and they didn't have this Mare, and they just had a Tanqueray or a Gordon's or whatever.
A Tanqueray's nice with it, and a Hendrick's is good with it, because if you put a bit of cucumber in it.
Do you need a bit of flavour in the gin then? Yeah, I don't mean a strong flavour, just a subtle sort of flowery flavour, really. So maybe
I'm
going to
say this isn't the greatest with soda, but I like quite that one. That's the one to go for. I like the taste of gin. I do like the taste of gin.
I do. Mm. I've gone with the pink gin, and there's a fly in mine, so that's nice, isn't it?
Oh, lovely. You don't get your nutrition anywhere else, Sally, so you should eat it, shouldn't you, really? Yeah, it's a waste otherwise. Buddhists would say that that fly died for your dinner.
Yeah. Well, that they can say that.
I may have just made that up, actually.
I don't know what you're talking about. They don't like you to photograph. Buddhists don't like you to photograph them, do they? Because doesn't the camera steal the soul? Or is that Hindu? Anyway.
No, I think that's Indiana Jones, isn't it?
This is going to get cut, surely. Nonsense.
What was your training drink when you were growing up? What did you learn to drink on?
Oh, my goodness. I mean... So my parents were those sort of weirdy liberals who were like, well, if you're going to drink, just do it here, you know, don't get drunk outside. So I think the very first thing I had was probably red wine with water in it.
Right.
Because it sort of dilutes it down, and you could have that with your lunch.
And how old were you then?
Probably like in my really early teens. Right. You know, I mean, we definitely did it when we were little, but, you know, when we were on holiday or whatever, my dad would go, go on, try that. We'd go, ugh, it's disgusting, you know. But I think so, my early teens, I was probably. And then a cider, obviously. You know, I remember going to the park and drinking.
The park.
White Lightning, sitting on a log, you know. And K cider, do you remember that?
We've spoken about this, and you didn't remember it, did you, Lou?
No, I don't. But
come and we chatted about
it. Yeah, I mean, I remember drinking that and being very ill. Cider is the one that I cannot still to this day.
Oh, really?
No.
Because of the park.
Because of the teenage years of too much cider. And then I think, you know, and those little bottles of beer. Do you remember that? I don't know.
Stubbies.
You used to get the little stubbies, and they were, you know, my dad always had some in the garage. And when my mates came around, we'd just go to the garage and get some stubbies out, you know. Gin and Mad Dog 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And all those, like the early Alco Pops.
Yeah. Hooch. You know?
Hooch. And I remember there was one at university. It was called a Blast Away. Oh, my God. This is disgusting. So it was £1 a pint.
Mm-hmm.
A Blast Away. And it was a bottle of Castaway, which was basically like hooch.
Right.
I remember
and
that.
And a bottle of White Lightning.
Oh, no.
With a bit of ice and a brolly in it.
Oh, lovely. I mean, probably no ice. No.
And then you just used to neck it back.
And then you'd feel gross. And I remember that was the student union bar. And I went back a couple of years ago to teach an improv class. And that bar... the disgusting bar is now like a wellness and meditation center.
Really?
the ghosts have changed.
But the ghosts of the horrors in there, they're still there. They're still there. While people are sitting cross-legged, they're omming to the gods. There's still dirty Ruth with her Blast Away in the background.
Blast Away meaning something very different now.
Yeah.
Let's go and have a little meditation and blast away those demons, Ruth.
Exactly. And then we'll pop to the, and they've got like just outside is now like a farmer's market.
Of course it is. Which university is this?
Nottingham. It was shocking. Shocking. Sad. I mean, wonderful and brilliant and, but, you know.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes.
I was like, where's the greasy spoon? You know, where's the crappy food?
You see, this is why, if you paid me money to go back and be a youth now, God, how boring.
Oh,
I mean, none of them get drunk and fingered in a st- sticky bar now, do they?
I think they do. Maybe not a sticky bar. I think they're getting drunk at home.
Well, I think they're all much more sensible about alcohol.
Yeah, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
All the youth that I know, like either my... So my mates now... So my mates from school who were my proper heavy drinking buddies, you know, and still remain that to this day. They, like, their kids are now sort of late teens, you know, getting to the age when we all met and first started boozing, and they don't. And I was like, the other day, I was like, what was wrong with us? Like, their kids still were like, oh, you're still going to be like picking us up from the pub, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to be the other way around. We're not suddenly going to be picking them up, because they don't, it just doesn't, I don't know what else they do. Maybe they're really good kids. I don't think they are particularly, you know, they're normal kids.
It's just not part of their life so much,
is it? Yeah.
It's because they communicate through their phones, whereas we used to have to talk to each other.
Yeah, we had to go out.
Exactly. So you needed some social lubricant just to be able to.
But you know what? Only the other night I went out and I had two double gin and tonics. Then I shared a bottle of wine with my friend. And then I had a cocktail. I went, I'm going to have a cocktail now. And then I had a tequila and soda because I had it in my head. And that was only this week. And it's only Wednesday now.
It's only Wednesday.
And that was.
I went to a party on Saturday, Ruth.
Oh, yes, she did. I did.
And I don't, like, because we're always working, you'd like, we don't go to parties anymore.
No.
Me and Sally, we have to create our own parties at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
And we do, don't we?
And it was like, oh, this is what people do on a Saturday night. And it was in, I say it was a posh bar. It was in Blackpool. So you can make your own... mind
assumptions.
Yeah. And my gentleman caller ordered a couple of espresso martinis.
Lovely as well that night, the tequila soda,
delicious. But I bet you didn't have what we had, because halfway through the making of the espresso martini, the bloke forgot to put the vodka in.
You haven't even got an Irish coffee, we've just got a coffee
with a bit of a Kahlua in it. And that was it.
No.
So that was £40.
See, that's the other thing. Like, drinking is expensive now,
isn't it?
Like, in a way that it just wasn't when I stopped. I mean, it was expensive, but it wasn't like...
It wasn't. It was a pound for a blast away.
Exactly, which was a lot of alcohol.
Yeah. A couple of those, and you're dancing, aren't you?
Because this is the thing, partly working means you don't go to parties. But I found that when I stopped drinking, I also stopped going to parties, because I used to think I loved parties. I just really loved being drunk. And when I went sober, I was like, oh, these are awful.
Are they? I've never been to one sober. I wouldn't bother.
They're not fun.
Really? I always outstay my welcome. That's my problem with house parties. Because everyone's got older now. So people will invite me round for some drinks or something. And then at 8 o'clock, they all, like, it's neighbours and things like that. They want to go to bed or have their evening. Mm. And I think, surely we're just carrying on until we fall over. They have to push me out. So I try not to go to these affairs anymore, because I'm going to lose friends.
That's what I have to do when Sally comes to stay at our house. We have to leave a trail of nuts across the hallway, or popcorn, or those Costco cashew things. Just a trail of nuts across the hallway to guide her into her bed. When we've got her in, we shut the door, and that's it. And then we won't let her out. She has to go to sleep. That's the only way it's entrapment, but it works.
Whatever gets you through
But those parties, though, I think sober, they must be awful, because you're just in someone's house and people are getting slower and slower, aren't they, with their conversation, and your brain's still working at a sober speed. So you're thinking, I've heard this story.
Well, that was my cue to leave. Always. Yeah, once I'd got to a story that I'd heard that night, I was like, okay, bye, everybody.
I love that you know that as well.
Oh.
Yep, heard that one. We're off. Yeah,
I know how this is going to end.
On Saturday, I met this lovely girl. She was quite intense, but she, I got so giddy, like straight away, got so giddy about being out on a Saturday night and being at a party. I think I'd had a glass of wine, all right, two glasses of wine and a cocktail and a Negroni. And then I was chatting to this girl and she said to me, "Oh, you've already asked me." And I was like, "What?" I'd blacked out in the middle of my own conversation with her. And apparently the gentleman caller said, "You've already asked her name three times." And I was like, "Have I?" She went, "Yeah, it's Lucy." And I was like, oh, right, sorry. 5 minutes later, "Sorry, what was your name?"
Yeah.
Right, okay, time to be moved away from that person. Yeah. I am that tedious, boring person. Sorry, Ruth.
I think I am, though, when I'm drunk. We all are.
Yeah.
And very, when you're drunk, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. You're very enthused by your stories and you can't wait to tell the same person the same story again, can you? Yeah. Oh. Right, have you got some drunk stories for us, Ruth?
I mean, so I've got so many. I realised as I was thinking about them, like, I was drunk pretty much from age 18 to 32.
Yeah.
Just smashed. Right. And I also, like, so I met up, did a job with an ex, like, from years ago, and we were chatting and he said something and I went, "Oh, no, I don't really drink anymore." And he went, "That is the saddest thing I've ever heard." And he went, "You're the best drunk. You're the best drunk. And I was like, "Great. Oh, that's good." And I am very good value when I'm pissed.
Great.
We'll have to get drunk together.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm so much fun. I'm very happy. I'm a very happy drunk. And I get very enthused by things. But I also am very, I think it's got worse as I've done more and more impro. I'm quite spontaneous in a kind of, so I would just leave when I've had enough.
Oh, great. Yeah.
You know, just I've had enough of that. But I've always been a bit like that. So I remember being really, really drunk at a club at university. And it was a horrible club. And it was a 70s night. And they had like a VIP room upstairs. And Punt and Dennis had done a gig that night. And I think, God knows how we got into the VIP area, just blagged our way in. And we just started a conversation with them. I mean, I would never do it now. I've worked with Hugh Dennis since, but I would never go up to him in a bar and talk to him now. I'd be like, "Oh, he probably won't remember me." But, you know, 20 years old and smashed, I was like, "Yeah, let's just go and talk to them. I'm sure it'll be fine." And we went and we were chatting and we asked them a question and they were very politely answering it. And then, you know, and I was sort of drunkenly listening. And then I heard some music and I'm going to have to stop you and go and dance. And you know, when you're like, they were just being polite to you, you knobhead. Like,
they just have to stop you.
I'm going to have to stop you there.
I've endured this conversation for long enough now.
And that was kind of, you know, that's happened ever since. Like when I stopped drinking, when we did our first, when we did the West End, the Showstopper West End run, and we had our, you know, press night, big shebang. And I thought, "Ooh, I'll have a glass of wine at this. This will be fun." Ooh. And so I had a glass of wine and then I had another glass of wine, which was more than I'd drunk in like 6 years. Like, I, right, you know, had literally not drunk anything. And I just became, one, the life and soul of the party. Right. Like, and then I became like a drunk Pied Piper because the party finished and I was like, "Well, we can't go home. Come on, everyone. Yeah. I know a great place. I don't know anywhere in London. I don't know late night bars in London. I'm in my late 40s. I don't do that, you know." So I took everyone to a club that was shut. And then I went, "It's fine. I know another place." And I made everyone come to this place. And it was like I don't know where it is now. and it was a speakeasy bar, you know, where you have to go down and you have to knock on the door and you have to.
How did I
get us in there? Nobody knows.
Well done.
Because I wasn't a member or anything like that. So I knocked on the door and I got us all in. I went, come on, guys. And we all went in. And then, and literally we walked in, everyone filed past me. Adam, who I was with at the time, walked through and I went, no, no, not us. It's far too loud. We're going home. And I just left. So most of my stories end like that, either that or asleep. I'm a very good drunk sleeper. So
what, in the venues or wherever you are?
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
So I remember.
What, lying down? Or do you just, fully, you get yourself comfy?
Get myself comfy somewhere.
Oh,
so.
God.
Good idea.
There's one I mean, I don't really remember it because I was very drunk, but I do remember I went outside and then my friends were like, so I must have been like 18 or something. And my friends were like, where's Reed gone? And they came outside and they just found me curled up round a bush. asleep. And they went, are you all right? I was like, oh, yeah, fine. They were like, do you want to come in? I'm like, yeah, great. We went to a New Year's Eve party and they found me curled up round the speaker, around like the subwoofer.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow. Do you sleep well anyway?
Terribly.
Oh. So you need some loud music, don't you?
And yeah, I need
speaker.
Loud music and booze.
And you're having a lovely time, dreams and everything.
Yeah.
I'll have a cup of tea. What, you're having a cup of tea when you wake up? Lovely. Yeah.
Are you a snorer?
Apparently not, a talker.
So you could be like, people could be sort of thinking that you're actually still part of the party, but you're just chattering away with your eyes closed in a kind of spiritual way, maybe.
Yeah. Very zen.
Oh, I like that. I remember somebody said that to me once about when I say I outstay my welcome. I also do a little, I can be a bit like that, Ruth, as in I've had enough now, I'm going, and that's it. There's no, and somebody said that to me once. And the thing about you is once you've had enough, you just go, don't you? And I just think, oh no, this is all done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or I'm done. They're quite happy. It's not that it's bad. I'm just ready to go. Yeah, I'm done.
There's a great power in that. Like, I don't have to stay beyond.
Oh, I remember.
But I want to be.
Yes,
here.
Because when you're young, you sort of do, don't you? And then what changed my life was catatonia. Keris Matthews.
Not just falling asleep. That's what changed my life.
She changed my life. And I'll tell you why. Because I read in a magazine, she'd said she'd woken up in a field in France. She didn't know how she'd got there. She just remembers 2 or 3 days before. And then she said, the quote was something like, I realized then that if I didn't want to be somewhere, I was allowed to go. And it was a real moment of me going, oh my God, you're allowed to go.
You're allowed to go. It's beautiful, isn't it? Just like, oh, I don't have to be here.
How did she get back from France?
Yes. No idea. Can't remember.
How did she get there?
She doesn't know.
I suppose you didn't need passports then, did you?
No.
Maybe she was already in France.
Maybe.
And she just woke up in a fit. I don't know. I don't know anymore. But it was that bit when she said, I realised that if you didn't want to be somewhere, you were allowed to go. And I thought, the amount of places I've been and I've waited for people, or I've been reliant on people. And sometimes, like, and even things like, people will go, oh, you can stay at mine. We're going to some big party. You can stay at mine. You think, no.
No.
Because you might want to stay really late or all night. And I've got to wait for you because I can't get to my bed. So, no.
But Sally, as we already know, you are normally the last person.
Well, we know that, but not always. Yeah. Sometimes, but it depends on my mood, doesn't it? That's what it all depends on.
Yeah. When I was in at the Edinburgh Festival this year, there was a one of the comedians got so wasted, he woke up in a field just outside Glasgow. Lost his bag, lost everything, and had to hitchhike back to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Like thinking, I don't know what the time is. Have I missed my own show? Don't know. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that's what that is a sort of advert for the Edinburgh Festival, isn't it? That's what it does to you. And it's not just, it's not booze out of like, he just had enough, hadn't he? Whoever he was. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what happened.
I'm just going to drink tonight. And that's it. Let's just, and hopefully I'll be home, literally proper home when I wake up.
Yeah. Oh God!
On that note,
a lot of my drinking stories are Edinburgh, obviously, because it was, you know, it is where you drink, isn't it? And it was really funny. So this was the first year I've been back and drinking.
Oh,
in I don't know, 10 years or something. And I went, I had a really lovely time, and I had the best Edinburgh I've had for ages. And I went, because Edinburgh sober is hard,
is it?
Yeah,
because you say yes, Lou. You don't know.
You don't.
I don't know, but I had empathy for Ruth there.
Yeah, you just because going out is horrible.
Yeah,
Edinburgh, if you're sober,
awful. Relentless.
There's nothing to kind of take the edge off.
The wankers,
and all that. You know, and a lot of my Edinburgh joy is from stupid parties and you know idiots that I've hung out with for an evening or you know and it was hilarious this year because I went out I actually went to the Loft Bar one night which I haven't done for
which is a performer's bar for the listener
I haven't been there for I don't know how many years and I went with my mate Dan and because I haven't been there for so long, like not just, you know, the 2 years that, but because, you know, haven't. And there were loads of people who I haven't seen for years who were all like, hooray! Like,
she's back!
I had at one point like 7 drinks lined up. Oh! And I was like, oh, I can't drink all of these, but thank you. It was really, it was sort of nice to be back in that kind of
Social. Not every night. You don't want to be there every night, do you? But just to dip in and sit and the right people are there who you like.
Yeah, and you have to pick your moments. Like when I did my double act with Kirsten O'Brien and there was one day where I was like, why are we so sad? We're really sad. What's going on? And we realised it was because our show was at midday.
Oh.
And at 1 o'clock every day, we would go down to the Pleasance Bar, get a gin and tonic. And that was the start.
Ruth, really come back with a vengeance, haven't you?
No, that was then.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do that now.
So when you're not drinking your gin and soda, is there any other drinks that you will you'll dabble with?
I do love a glass of red.
Which sort? But any particular?
I always thought I had bad hangovers.
Mm-hmm.
And because you never really, you might go, oh, I'm really hungover, but you don't describe what your hangover is.
Mm.
You just say, I'm hungover. And then everyone goes, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was literally, so when I was in my mid-30s, that I finally said to someone, well, you know, because when you go blind with it, and they went,
what?
No. What? And that was when I realised I was getting migraines, not hangovers. So I was getting visual auras that were making me blind.
Ocular thing where it gets all pixelated.
Yeah, and I just thought that was what hangovers did to you because how would you know, right? How would you? Because they're always connected.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so when I first stopped drinking, like I got rid of bit by bit, because I was like, I don't want to give up completely because it's fun. So I had to sort of rule stuff out in it. And what I discovered was, so actually what I have discovered since is that it's not the alcohol that's the problem. It's the chemicals in the process that make it a problem. So I like And I couldn't work out why until I spoke. And again, this is all stuff I've learned very recently. I spoke to a friend of mine who's a sommelier.
Ooh.
And I said, I really like French red, expensive French red wine. Doesn't give me a migraine. And she went, oh, that's because the French have the strictest rules on what else can go into wine.
Really?
So there's a reason why French red often doesn't give you or doesn't give me the migraine. It's because it hasn't got
me leaning in.
Yeah, Lou really lent in then to learn.
So I do French red is my thing. I love it. And it was my dad's thing too. And when he died, we went up to he had a wine cellar, which is basically the cupboard under the stairs.
Great.
It's just full of wine. But it was all labelled, or so we thought. But then when you actually go into it, you're like, oh, these labels don't.
No.
They literally don't correspond in any way. So you basically do a bit of a lucky dip. Like mm-hmm. It could be really good. It could be not good.
Right.
Who knows how much it cost, you know? So at his funeral, me and his brother were going through the cellar, and I went, "Ooh, cellar, the cupboard under the stairs." And I went, "Let's have this." Just found a bottle, and we were having a fish and chips, drinking this wine. Me and my uncle going, "This wine's great!" Really knocking it back. I gave him a bottle to take home with him. My mum was like, not focused on that at that point. And then the next day, she said to me, "What were you drinking last night?" And I went, "Oh, I don't know, just." Whatever. And I got out a bottle of it, and I thought it was 2015, some Bordeaux, and it wasn't. It was some Bordeaux from 2005. And I went, oh, I think this might be quite expensive. And then I was chatting to my sommelier friend, and she went, it's like £150 a bottle.
Yeah, I bet.
Like,
it was like that was the vintage year, even. Right?
It was like the year for this wine, whatever it was. And I was like, we nailed it with some fish and chips.
I think that's nice, though, especially as it was your dad's funeral. That's great. Yeah, exactly. And you'll always remember drinking that wine then, won't you?
Yeah, exactly. And then every time I go up now, I grab a couple of bottles.
Bring some
home and then have a little like, is this a good one? Is this a bad one?
Oh yeah, it's just a little gamble for the day, isn't it?
Yeah, cheeky little Blossom Hill he's thrown in there. Thank you very much. Oh, it's posh wine roulette, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's so joyful because there's no way of knowing.
Yeah. And if you get a hangover, then you know it's not French.
Yeah, and I know it's not a goodie.
I'm
going to move on to the expensive French, I think.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, because it's so nice, you kind of take it slowly. You're not kind of
getting the flavours.
I mean, I do still, you know. Mm. But I mean, the one that we had at his funeral, we definitely were necking that.
Yeah,
but
lovely.
Now is beer.
Right.
Beer was one of the first things to go. But beer, because it was so
banished.
Bad. Oh, just awful. And then I started getting hangovers, migraines from non-alcoholic beer. And I was like, But the change in beer between 10 years ago and now is mammoth. So you get all this gluten-free, organic, just stuff you couldn't get. And it, again, doesn't give me a migraine anymore. So I'm like... So it's sort of like a brave new world for me.
Oh,
Ruth.
What a world you live in now.
Oh.
Hey?
Oh, Ruth's, I know. Isn't Ruth's this matured,
I know. Booze is back. Yeah.
No more hedge diving. But I'm so mature.
I want you to do hedge diving. Do the hedge diving.
I'm a sitting round speaker with you.
Yeah. We went past a place. We were doing a corporate gig in Richmond the other day. We were walking down the hill and I went... This is where we used to do. This is where we did hedge diving, and my mate was like, "What's that?" And I'm like, "What?
What?
I mean, it's just diving into a hedge. It's very self-explanatory."
Yeah.
And it was one Easter. It was before any of my mates had kids, and we just went for Easter lunch in a pub in Richmond. And we got there at midday, and I think we left at midnight. Like we were
nice,
all, you know, just beyond.
Did you go there for lunch and then you just carry on drinking and you think, oh, we'll have dinner now, shall we?
I love that. Yeah, there was no like, well, we're here now. And so, yeah, and then we went past all these posh houses and just dived in all the hedges.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then I got home and my housemates were like, the next day, they were like, how did you get back? And I went, oh, I think I just walked. And they went, oh, my God, because walking meant walking through, like, you know, some horrible bits of the world. I'd just gone, sure, I'll walk through this deserted industrial estate. I'm fine.
I'm invincible. It's Ruth Bratt is on her way.
And then just like like the shrapnel of where you've dived into people's bushes, like all the way across.
You can see how I got home.
Yes. Oh, that's shaped like Ruth. Yeah, there she is. I was just going to say, I had a friend in the summer that she loves, Nikki Wilkinson. She's in a group called the Cagoules, very, very funny group. And they, when she gets drunk, she loves a bush dive. That sounds wrong. But she, when we were together, she dived into this bush, came out. And then she was like pissing about in the kitchen. And about half an hour later, there was this almighty scream. And she'd sort of like bought with her a family of snails, just little tiny baby one that was on her arm. Tiny little baby snail. Where did it come from? You've been in a bush most of the way home, Nikki. That's where it comes from. Yeah. Sorry, Sally. Go.
I was going to do the quiz on Ruth. Should we do the quiz? Yes, okay, yes, here we go, Ruth. Okay, Ruth. It's just, it's a quick fire round.
Let me do the tension music. That's it.
White or red wine?
Red.
Lager or ale?
Lager.
Prosecco or cava?
Prosecco.
Whiskey or brandy?
Oh, neither. Terrible. Ooh. But brandy if I had to.
Nah, good girl.
Improv or stand-up?
Oh. Improv.
Cosmopolitan or Long Island iced tea?
Cosmo.
Tequila or Sambuca?
Sambuca.
Coke or Pepsi?
Oh, neither, but Coke.
Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Screw cap or cork?
Cork.
Musical or play?
Musical.
Draft beer or bottled beer?
Bottle.
Gin or vodka?
Gin.
Crisps or nuts?
Crisps.
Chorus or solo?
Chorus.
Lou or Sally?
Oh, Lally.
That's the best answer. Yeah.
Cheers to that.
No one said that. Or Sue. Oh, that's great. We have to do a cocktail for Ruth. We forget to do this because we get drunk, don't we? We have to make a Ruth Bratt cocktail.
Oh,
got to have gin in it.
Got to have gin in it.
Should we call it the yes and?
Yeah.
Yes. Because that sort of encapsulates, we could literally have anything in it then, couldn't we?
But I want, really think, the problem is I'd like gin and red wine and you can't, can you? I mean, you can, but who's going to buy that?
Yeah. Well, we probably would, wouldn't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. With enough persuasion.
Yeah.
I mean, they both taste good, so there must be a way of mixing them.
Well, you could. Ruth used to have her red wine watered down, didn't she?
Yes, you could have like an ice cube.
Oh, a tuna
and red wine ice cube in the.
We could do a gin ice cube, couldn't we? Yeah. In the wine, do you think gin ice cube? Okay. And it's got to be a florally gin.
Yes,
you know that you like.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
And then maybe some soda. I mean, God, is that?
I mean, most alcohols do very well with soda.
Yeah.
Well,
a sangria is red
wine. It's sort
wine
of sangria,
and,
isn't
and
it?
Bits and pieces, yeah, isn't bits and pieces. It? Yeah. I think as a bit of a garnish or a bit of hedge.
Yeah.
It's got to be a bit of hedge. Yeah.
It's got and some sort of sleeping pill.
Oh, definitely. Bit of Valium, pop that in there.
Yeah.
Served in like a Barbie or a Cindy's sleeping bag because she likes to sleep, doesn't she? Yeah. With this, like a you must be able to get a miniature sleeping bag.
Why a sleep? Oh, I said a sleeping bag. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, because she sleeps. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you need a sleep. Yeah.
It comes with a pillow.
Yes.
Yes. That's it. Yes.
It comes with a pillow that you can stick up the chimney.
Yes. There we there go. Oh, it's all tied up beautifully. And that's called the yes and.
Yes.
Yeah. There we go. We're publishing this book of cocktails, Ruth. But you'll be happy to.
Yeah. Nobody will ever buy it, but you know.
They're beautiful. I mean, some of them have got mud in. I mean, it's...
We could put a little baby snail on the side of yours as well. Yeah,
a little family of snails. Oh, no, but we get in trouble with the animal rights people then, wouldn't we?
Well, we could make them out of...
We won't get in trouble with anyone else, of course, no. But then the animal rights people will come along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah, they can be pretend snails. They have to be real. We can have them made, can't we?
Yeah.
There's a lot of detail
with our
here,
pots
Ruth.
Of cash.
There's a lot of detail in this cocktail, which I'm loving.
Oh, and to be able to drink it, you have to go into the cupboard under the stairs.
Yes!
Yes. And that's like the speakeasy. Ruth's speakeasy.
But Ruth's not going in. No, it's too loud. She's going home.
Yeah. We'll have to just hand it to her.
We're just locked in the cupboard under the stairs.
Or the speakeasy could be in a hedgerow or a bush somewhere, and then you have to cough by the bush and a hand comes out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You have to find it, but no one tells you where it is.
Yes. Yeah.
You'll just have your finding it. It's just by finding it.
The shape of your body will be imprinted into the side of the...
The problem with this is I try and keep it in reality.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I'm enjoying it, but I'm always thinking, but that's not going to work, is it? Of course it's not going to work, but...
Sally, none of this works.
I know, but it might now. I like the suspension.
What I love about it is that I've just been sitting here thinking, I mean, this could work.
This could be a gig.
This could be a very good offer for people.
Actually, do you know what? You know how you say that? I'm back in reality, but you know, going there's a gig somewhere. I can't remember where it. Leamington Spa, but you go into the bar through a fridge. The fridge isn't on, but you open that. That's the door. It's a little bit like Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, I suppose, isn't it? But with a fridge, and then you go down the stairs, and there's a bar down there. And then there was a.
Oh, I like that.
So these things. So the cupboard under the stairs
exist.
Yeah, can just be part. It can be a hedge in a bar, can't there?
Or like a hedge just sort of outside it.
A hedge outside, then you go through the hedge.
Like it's a hedge, but actually, doorway into an underground bar.
Cool bar that serves red wine, gin.
I think I'd be really good at improv. Like, you know, because coming up with these ideas.
Here we go.
Oh, my God, Sally. This is the future for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It is. Should we do the future, guys?
We could do a very quick bit of improv with Ruth, I'm sure, right now. Couldn't we?
We need a genre.
She knows it all. When you say genres, what, like dance? No, not dance.
Is it film noir or is
you
it a comedy?
Do like film and theatre, yeah.
Or is it, I don't know what other genres there are of.
Well, it can't be silent, can it? Because this is an audio thing.
A lot of people might be listening thinking, I wish it was silent now. But I could do some mime for you.
Do some mime. Oh, it's amazing.
That's incredible.
And the listener will never know what I just did.
Lou, you be the bartender. And Ruth's coming in to order her yes and.
Okay, right. Where am I from?
You're from Lithuania.
Am I me or am I? That's a good point, actually.
God, this is how little I know about improv, by the way, that you're having to guide the guider. Okay.
Ruth's gonna be Sally. Okay.
And you're me. Right. Yeah, you're
right.
Me.
I'm Sally.
Yeah.
And I'm from Lithuania.
Yeah. And you need this drink, Ruth. You need it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, hello. I am from Lithuania.
Oh, hello. I'm Sally, and I need a drink.
Oh,
we need a drink.
We only sell good drinks in plastic cups.
That's what I want. It doesn't matter. Just anything. Anything.
No, can I just stop you there? Yeah. Sally would not drink a drink from a plastic cup.
Oh, really?
So let's go back. Let's start again.
We'll go back. Okay. So this is like a guided improvisation.
Yeah. Okay.
This is more like devising.
Oh, God, we're good. Hello, I'm from Lithuania.
Hello, I'm Sally and I need a drink.
Oh, we only have drinks in plastic cups.
Get lost, I'm not drinking that.
And scene. There we go. Yes. Brilliant.
Okay, yeah. That was great. I mean, yeah, that was so inventive.
I know. Oh, God, I feel fueled. I do.
Ruth, before we go and decide whether your drink is a spit or a swallow, do you have any more drunk stories you wish to share?
But don't worry,
no pressure. Yes, there must
so
be
many.
More.
I mean, so you know what I say, my ex, he said to me, yeah, you're a brilliant drunk. A brilliant drunk. And I was like, I did say to him, I was like, I think you've forgotten what I was like. Because I rang him one night. He hadn't been out. I'd been out. I think he'd been gigging. And I'd been out getting very drunk. And I called him and I said, hello, I'm at a tube station beginning with B. Come and get me. He went, well, I can't because I don't know where you are. And I went, well, I can't read it. So he went, well, can you get to Osterley, which was like the nearest station sort of halfway between our houses? And I went, yeah, I reckon I can do that. Yeah. And so I managed to get to Osterley and he came and picked me up and he said, I'm going to take you home. And I went, okay. And you know, I was very exuberant in the car. And then he stopped outside my house and I went, are you going to come in? No, I'm not. And I went, it'll be fun. And he went, absolutely will not be. It will be the worst. Go home and go to bed.
It'll be fun.
No, it won't. It'll be awful. It will be genuinely awful. And he was right. It would have been, you know, I probably would have just fallen asleep. And it would have been.
Well, and you might have been sick. And he would have had, he would have probably had to clean up your vomit and all that sort
probably
of stuff.
Yeah. All of these things.
And he predicted all that.
Yeah. He was also great. Like, I remember being drunk with him I don't even know how drunk we were, actually, whether we were just in a good mood. And I was looking at my glass of water. We were in this Indian restaurant that we used to go to quite a lot. And I was looking at my glass of water and then I looked at him and I giggled and he went, what? And I went, I'm just wondering what would happen if I threw this in your face. He went, well, why don't you do it and see? So I just threw a full glass of water in his face and he picked his up, threw it in mine. And we just sat there like dripping and laughing with like just people staring at us. It's absolutely, Yeah.
I'd love to do that.
Really aggressively.
I'm just wondering what it would be like.
I just wanted to know. And what it was brilliant and very funny. Yeah.
Oh, Ruth.
That was a goodie.
Oh, gosh. Please, could we go out for a drink so we can both chuck a glass of water in your face.
Oh, God, the drinking world. I'm so glad you're back to the drinking world. I really am. Oh, thank God you diagnosed your problems with your migraine. Yeah. I mean, it took a while, but you're back.
I'm back on the horse.
Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. We have to decide whether or not your drink is a spit or a swallow now.
Yeah. Well,
gin and soda. Go on, Lou.
Never had it before, and I would have it again, but I think you're right, it has to be a flavoursome gin, otherwise you're just drinking piss, aren't you? But this is delicious. It's a swallow from me, thank you.
And from me, I echo exactly what you've just said, Lou. With the pink gin, it's really nice, it's got a florally flavour. I think, without that, I think, I haven't tried it with just a plain Gordon's non-pink gin, but it's a swallow from me. Swallow from me.
Woohoo! Oh, Ruth, you've made our day. Thank you.
You've introduced us to a new drink.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, at gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!